Next is a morning walk conversation on December 31st, 1993, in
Gidanagri. Hi, Harkish. Thank you for all the things you gave me, including the bread.
Well, as I said in my offering, till I can give you my heart, it's not really anything.
I dictated a letter with my responses to the Sri Lama trip, but it'll probably take a couple of days to get typed and get to you. Don't you have enough?
Is that okay?
Just today, that's all, okay? What was your class? Who gave the class?
Run the car.
So the spiritual master is as good as God. He should be worshipped as God.
And Krishna is the original spiritual master? That was not there? I know in Satyabrata section there are several verses in a row that Krishna is the original guru. The word guru is used for Krishna. That was today? Yes? Yeah. I was speaking about that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita course. From Adi Lila, where it's, the gurus are discussed. And he discusses the Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and then Krishna. There's a verse that says something like, transcendental poets and devotees, they cannot express their indebtedness to you enough, because you have appeared as the Diksha and Shiksha Gurus and as the Guru within. So then Prabhupada, he describes Krishna's Guru in different ways. He says he's the Shiksha Guru as Krishna when he speaks his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And for Brahma, he was Diksha Guru, Tene Vida. Brahma Yadi Kavi. Although for most people he cannot be Diksha Guru. But then he's Chaitya Guru in the heart. Well, we had discussion about that. Someone said, this concept of Chaitya Guru sounds like it could only be for a very advanced devotee. And then we looked at that purport that which Vijayatma Prabhu mentioned the other day, the purport to Tesham Satata Yuktanam, where Prabhupada says a less intelligent devotee may have a spiritual master and be part of a spiritual movement, but still he's not able to understand the science of God. But if he does some work for Krishna and with love, then Krishna will give him the information. So that doesn't seem to describe a very advanced devotee. Rather, says he's less intelligent. But how could he be less intelligent if Krishna is willing to speak to him? I took it to mean like maybe intellectually or philosophically, because actually normally that is required to understand philosophy. Is it requires intellect to understand the great Acharya's writings like Ramanuja and Madhvacharya and everything. There's an example of that devotee in South India who couldn't read the Bhagavad Gita, but he was a great devotee by his service. So, and then another example that you don't have to be a great devotee, a highly advanced devotee, to have Krishna as guru in the heart, is the general encouragement that Prabhupada gave to his disciples. In so many letters you can see he's saying, go ahead, you paint the picture of Krishna, you're a sincere devotee, Krishna's in your heart, he'll tell you how to do it. Krishna's in your heart, he'll tell you how to preach at the colleges. But of course, such devotees were working closely under Prabhupada. So you have both. As you try to carry out the order of the spiritual master, Krishna helps you. And also because you want to serve the spiritual master, Krishna helps you to do that. Pray to Krishna, please help me to have faith in the teachings of my spiritual master and to follow him. We certainly don't advocate just Chaitanya Guru, and no other guru is necessary. And in those Satya Brata verses, Krishna is the original guru. It's like he stands behind all gurus in this world, like the so-called standing behind the dollar by the Federal Reserve Bank, the gold, or the whole government, we stand behind. So Krishna is actually, he's what makes everyone a bona fide, anyone who's a bona fide guru, Krishna's in the back, he's actually the teacher. One of the things Krishna does. He plays with his friends, he kills demons, and he's a teacher, a great guru, teacher in so many ways. Warmer today, huh? Yeah. You should have been here before. Yesterday it was so cold we couldn't even walk. Cold and windy. I heard Prabhupada just today talking about a simple, wonderful thing about how you can see Krishna in nature, and he was really strongly asserting the point about meditation. This is meditation. He said, all this other meditation, it's all bogus meditation. He said, this is meditation. And then he gave an example that you go to the Pacific Ocean, such a vast ocean, and yet you feel safe that the waves can only come this far and they will not harm you. Why is that? He said, it is because Krishna has arranged it. Krishna says, my dear Pacific Ocean, you may be very great, but you cannot come further than this line. And the way he said it, he must have looked up or widened his eyes or something, because all the devotees in Los Angeles, Jai. Okay, this is meditation. So, you ask, can we see Krishna in nature? Is that the Vishwarup meditation? No, personal. It's for beginners, but that's what we are. It's immediately there and available. You think about things. Krishna has done this powerful thing. Krishna's behind it. If it wasn't for Krishna, this could not happen. Or even things that's something you can, by the Guru's guidance, you can figure out. The ocean can't come forward because of Krishna. Let me meditate how Krishna is great. But then we were also talking in classes I was attending about how some things you can't figure out. And so that also you think, this is inconceivable. Krishna is inconceivable. What is going on? I don't understand, but I know this is Krishna's hand. I saw a nice line as I'm studying for Queen Kunti. That we don't, there's so many reverses may come. We don't know how they're happening, but we depend on Krishna. So that the devotees were asking the question, what is the line, or where do you draw the line between thinking that you should do something about life and its reverses, things that are wrong in your life, wrong in the world, and where you should just accept it as Krishna's plan. So Prabhupada gave like a nice motto He said the Pandavas followed. It was, they act with valor, but at the same time, completely depend on Krishna.
Like even when the spiritual master is on the planet, you have a connection with the Chaitanya Guru in the heart to guide you at times when you're not able to get direct instruction. Is that something that should be consciously strengthened daily? You're thinking about trying to hear instructions from Krishna in that way and developing a relationship like that?
Yeah. Like I said, that I now, my spiritual master give me all these instructions. May I assimilate them by the Lord's grace. Ask Krishna to help me, or help me to carry out his orders. Another thing, a little different, but is that the spiritual master's in the heart too. It's not the spiritual master's only somebody that when I go somewhere I see him, then he's there. And other times I pray to Krishna. And not spiritual master, but the spiritual master's in our heart too, by his instructions.
I guess that's part of the question I was thinking, that the relationship with your spiritual master that you have with him, like in your heart and in your prayers, that's maybe I need to formulate the thought a little better.
It's just another aspect of him. Prabhupada used to talk in a simple way about keeping the impression of Krishna within you, which he said could be brought to the stage similar to the yogis who have the darshan of Paramatma in their heart. So simple. He said just in the morning you see the deity of Radha and Krishna. See, anything that you see for a long time, if you close your eyes, you will see that. So you're always seeing Krishna then. Wherever you are in the day, you can keep that impression. So, such a fact. So, there may be other dimensions. Take that same example and apply it to the relationship with the spiritual master. There may be other dimensions of how you think of him in your heart or pray to him, how he's present. But by that other explanation, it's just the more you read his books, then you think of the things that he has said there. The more you hear his lectures, you think of how he said different things. We can go down here. And the more you think of what he wanted and the particular service you're doing for him and hoping that he'll accept it, then you're like always meditating on him. And it's not that thinking of him is some entirely different thing, but it's all aspects of exchange. least that much I can understand. But to very special devotees, very special spiritual masters, we speak to them just like the super soul. That question was asked, Prabhupada. How can we receive instructions from you when you're not here? And first he gave the answer that I gave, the simple one. He said, well, you just read my books. And he said, well, what about it? It's like with the super soul, is it something like that, that he can speak to us? He said, yes, it depends on your purity. Oh, there was, yesterday, Madhava gave the class and he read a purport. And Prabhupada said, what is revealed to a devotee who is fully surrendered is different than what is revealed to a devotee who's partly surrendered.
If you find that you're only partially surrendered, aspire to be fully surrendered. I guess I'm thinking about how sometimes you said it's like a long distance run, you have to pace yourself. And you want to surrender as much as possible now, but realize maybe I have limitations, but I won't forget the goal. I don't know how to ask a question.
How realistically how to fully surrender?
Yeah, because sometimes if you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm really not so fully surrendered, then it just like heaps guilt on top of the only partial surrender, and that doesn't do anything.
Well, the positive aspect is to have actual faith in the process. And then just to be grateful for what you have and protect it, preserve it. Remember, there were some devotees a few years ago in this northeast area, like Flurry, who left and went back to Christianity that they were practicing. One of the devotees said, I heard he said, I'd rather be a... Among the Christians, I'm considered advanced and strict. I'd rather be considered a good Christian than a bad devotee of Krishna. So, that I'm bringing that up to the point that by that remark, he doesn't have such faith in the process. He may be depressed thinking that, gee, to surrender is so difficult. You have to follow the four rules strictly, no illicit sex, and always chanting Hare Krishna and doing so many things. The devotee's so ambitious with total surrender. So I'll take some other path. Maybe for prestige or whatever, or for feeling good. But a devotee doesn't feel bad. And he never thinks of taking to another path because he has such faith in his process. Or he may feel bad, but it's not a feeling, not a material depression. And he still loves the process. So we have to have faith in that. Although I may, asabandha, great faith. Faith in the spiritual master and the Krishna consciousness parampara. Then my lack of surrender. Try. Keep practicing and hope someday I will
compared to the acharyas is so suitable for a mood like that, because yeah. they're like, I'm completely unqualified and have no sincerity, so therefore you have to rescue me because I have no other hope.
One time also I had asked you a question some years ago about a devotee feeling very much like that, and you said, well, just tell her that if she considers where she was before she became a devotee and now, she'll see that she's on top of a very tall mountain and she won't want to come down.
Yeah, that's true. Prabhupada was so expert to give us practical activities to surrender body, words, and mind. So that emphasis on active service really absorbs us, so that the positive energy of surrender is going on by our applying ourselves to maintaining our activities. There was that talk Prabhupada had with several talks on the same question came up. There's some challenging of priests in England. Once a priest by himself and then a priest with the mother of the devotee. And the priest was saying that and Prabhupada said that these devotees, they surrender 24 hours a day, they're engaged. The priest was saying, in effect, that you may have them busily engaged, but what is their quality of inner life? And Prabhupada was saying, in effect, that this full engagement, there's no difference between what you say inner life and what these devotees are doing. It's all inner. And just like the iron rod in the fire, it may not be fire, but if it stays there, then eventually it will become like fire. So you can see he had such faith in even what you call mechanical chanting or sincere work by a devotee who still wasn't perfectly surrendered within but was doing the tasks. It's something practical he appreciated and Krishna could appreciate. And whatever you do is good, the more and more you can do. Another example he gave, that police officer, public relations officer, Mosey, said that your grace, or whatever you call them, your devotees seem very enthusiastic now, young men and women, but will they be able to keep this up in the future, this kind of enthusiasm that you're generating? And Prabhupada, he decried that logic that the man was using. He said, this is not good logic to talk about what... that what is good now may be misused in the future. He said, if there's some nice food prepared, if you say, in a few days this food will go bad. He said, that's true, that may happen, but if you properly use the food now, that's our main concern. It was an unusual argument to use. It wasn't meant to be like the whole philosophy in one nutshell, but it's an interesting angle, and also on Prabhupada's attitude towards giving Krishna consciousness to people who were very sensuous and unqualified, that even if that were true, that in the future they would give it up. That's not as important as the consideration as now that they take it up. And if they do practice it, they won't give it up later. Right, yeah, they'll come back. If you don't have some energy like that, that's part of what Prabhupada says, or his spiritual master said, a dead man can't preach. You have to have some life that it's so good, it's worth giving to people, and not just think, well, what if they don't, records have shown that so many devotees have taken and given it up, so what's the use of giving it? It's like that example of the good food may go rotten. Let me try. Yeah.
And all the preaching I did, reaching out to so many people that now we can't expect everyone else to come to the highest order.
No.
Then each one of us should have.
Yeah, well, in one letter he said, I like that, I don't want many, many little lights, just one moon is much better. He said, but fortunately Krishna has given me so many moons. And he began to mention all the devotees. So, this is a different cosmos, it's not just one moon, but many moons can appear. But not don't propagate in such a way as to make cheap followers.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.